In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I don't know if our special guest this morning is the Holy Spirit in disguise, or maybe that other spirit come to check us out. So let's be on our best behavior in either case. Father Eric Biddy came to us only last month as our new rector, and so the temptation to preach on today's lesson from Hebrews, or at least to quote from it, is irresistible. Every high priest chosen from among fellow human beings is appointed to act on behalf of us in relation to God. This priest can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. No one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God. But while all of us, especially church leaders, can learn from this passage, it's of course about Jesus, not about the new rector. In today's gospel lesson, the disciples and Jesus were heading to Jerusalem, where Isaiah's dark, suffering servant prophecies would finally come true. James and John had taken on greater positions of responsibility in the inner circle of the disciples. As Jews, they might have known about Isaiah's prophecies, but it seems like they just hadn't made the connection with Jesus, even though Jesus had for the third time foretold his death and resurrection just before the conversation in today's lesson. You see, Jews in that era had misinterpreted the messianic prophecies that are in the Hebrew Scriptures. They were expecting a Messiah who would be a visible earthly king, and James and John were positioning themselves to be in places of honor next to Jesus when he took on that earthly throne. The way they did the positioning wasn't exactly subtle, was it? "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." It's too bad that we don't have a recording of Jesus' answer, the look on his face, and that we can't see his body language. Maybe he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Or maybe he said, "What do you want me to do for you this time?" When Jesus asked whether they were able to drink the cup that he drinks, I don't think that James and John understood that this would mean sharing a cup of humility, pain, and suffering. When Jesus asked whether they would be able to be baptized with the baptism with which he is baptized, it's unlikely that they realized that this would be sharing in a literal, not symbolic, baptism of death and resurrection. They had no way of knowing that when Jesus was crowned King of the Jews before the crucifixion, they wouldn't be there with him on that high throne of the cross. Instead, a repentant thief would be on his right, and an unrepentant thief would be on his left. These misunderstandings and the fact that the other 10 heard the request set up a great lesson on true leadership that, of course, applies to this very day. When someone takes on a new job or gets a promotion that involves having more authority and more power, it's always interesting to stand by and see what they do with it. We've all seen great examples and some not so good examples, not just in church, maybe at work or in school. perhaps in the military or maybe even in politics. Some use their new position to help others, and others, driven by selfish ambition, use that position to help themselves. There's nothing particularly wrong with ambition in and of itself. It is our nature to want to reach higher and higher and be better, and that's good. Being competitive is also okay. There are books that celebrate people's achievements. Who's Who, for example. While ambition and being competitive and wanting to be better can be productive, St. Bernard of Clairvaux taught that unbridled ambition is a poison that causes madness. The English theologian John Stott reminds us that to this present day in our world, we are full of Jameses and Johns. Like them, when God speaks to us through Holy Scripture, the message can go in one ear and right out the other. Like them, there are people who seek status, who want more and more honor and prestige. There are people who measure their lives by their accomplishments. There are people who dream only of their personal success, people who have no problem telling God to do whatever they want God to do. And like the rulers of the Gentiles, there are people who seek positions of power and authority just so that they can be in a position to tell others what they have to do. In true leadership, the people don't serve the leader. Jesus teaches that a true leader is the humble servant ministering to the people. Jesus then takes it even farther by saying that a leader is a slave to the people. A true leader sets self aside in order to meet the needs of others. A true leader uses power and authority given to them in order to help others achieve. A true leader remembers that Jesus set an example by using the power and authority given to him by the Father to give his own life in order to free humanity from the captivity of sin. Amen.